We're in this season of Advent, a season of anticipation, a season of looking forward to what God is doing. We look backwards at what God has done already, and that helps us as we contemplate what the future might be. But we also need a heightened ability to be perceptive to what God is doing. So my theme for this Advent season is that God came near. And today I want to talk about, can we hear? Can we hear him? And as you look through the accounts of the first Advent, of the first Christmas, we see that there's a variety of people with a variety of experiences. Some heard a message and doubted. Others heard and responded in faith. And the question before us each day is, are we hearing? Are we responding? Are we tuned in to listen? And are our hearts ready to say yes to what we hear? We talked about angels singing and proclaiming the first Noel. We talk about shepherds hearing that, and you wonder what kind of response they might have had. What we do know is that they got up, they left their sheep, they went, they obeyed. We know about Joseph and hearing from the angel and the questions he had, and we know about Mary. Today I want to focus on a little bit more on a guy by the name of Zechariah. When you think about Zechariah, what's the first thought that comes to mind, the first perception as you think about how he responded to what God was doing? I think sometimes Zechariah gets a bad rap. I mean, who wouldn't have a little doubt? Who wouldn't have a little trouble? Let's look at his account a little bit more and then ask the question, how did he end? What's the last thing we hear about him? And maybe from that we can have a little hope for our own selves. Maybe you've been on a journey of faith. Maybe you started out strong. Maybe there was times of wavering and doubt. But my question is, how are you ending? What's God saying right now, and how are you responding to it? Let's look at Luke chapter 1 together. I believe the opening paragraph of Luke is really important for us to understand how to interpret the rest of what Luke records for us. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." So here's his purpose statement. Luke is saying, hey, I've researched, I've compiled, I've dug into the written accounts, and I've even interviewed eyewitnesses. I have gathered together the facts, and I'm laying them out so that you may know with certainty the truth of the gospel, the facts about Christ, the things that lead to salvation. So my hope for each of us as we enter into a new Advent season, we'll turn our Gospels to the beginning again and look again at the accounts there. And as we read them, that faith would grow. And we'd have a sense of that God is certainly accomplishing his will, and we can have confidence that what we read, what we hear, is indeed the Word of God, the message of God, delivering the hope of God so we can have the salvation of God. The question is, will we hear? And he's written this to Theophilus, apparently a man in the Roman Empire who was of some importance, and that was a person worthy to dedicate his research to and record it as being written to, knowing that it would be passed down to many others, including to us. Well, we have ears to hear with faith. The first part of this story is unique to Luke. He's the only one that records Zechariah's story. Verse 5 says this, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.'" Well, a couple of important things to note there. First of all, they describe him as blameless, as one who sought to follow the Lord's commands, as one who is righteous. And at first we might think, well, that's a little bit grandiose. And indeed, we know that Scripture says, Romans, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that the Apostle Paul describes himself as one who has not yet attained perfection. We understand that there's a way to talk about someone as someone heading in the right direction, pursuing God, trying to be obedient, but occasionally stumbling and in need of a Savior, in need of a rescuer. So lest you hear that opening introduction and description and say, well, this doesn't relate to me at all. No, it does. Because most of you are striving to live right. Most of you are trying to be righteous. Most of you are trying to obey the Lord's commands and decrees. And as you're trying, you're moving in the right direction. I once heard someone talking about how to describe a Christian or not, and they said, you know, it's not so much where you're at, it's where you're going. Think about someone who's been a Christian for a long time, but at the end, now they're doubtful, they're discouraged, and they're really facing away. They're really moving further and further away from intimacy with Christ. And compare that with someone who's a brand new baby Christian. They haven't trimmed out of their lives any of the behaviors that some people might question or think down about. But the important thing is that they're facing Jesus. They're running towards him. They're trying to grow. They're trying to learn. They're trying to become closer to him. It's the direction of our lives. But Zechariah was a man who was a pursuer of God. And also we see in verse 13 that he was a man of prayer. The angel's announcement is that your prayer has been heard. So we ought to have a pretty decent understanding about who Zechariah was. But a person can be a man pursuing God and a man of prayer, but still have seasons of doubt. Can still run into situations where you've wanted something, hoped for something, prayed for something, and not seen answers, but rather seen the opposite occur time and time again. And after a while, the heart starts getting a little jaded. A little cynicism might start setting in. A little discouragement start clouding over the thoughts and dreams and emotions of the person. It might be hard to believe. So when the angel shows up, You see that coming through as Zechariah expresses his doubt. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." What was it he'd been praying for? The answer that the angel brought was that you're gonna have a son. Elizabeth is going to conceive. You will have your heir. You will have a descendant. And not only just any child, but a very special one, selected by God to be the forerunner, the proclaimer of the Savior. But Zechariah's response is doubt. I've asked for that before. I've asked for that time and time and time again. I've asked for it year after year after year. You wonder just how old Zechariah might have been. Maybe in his 60s? When you're in your 20s, you might expect children to come. In your 30s, you hope that they're there. In your 40s, you might start getting some doubts. In your 50s, I wonder if hopes start fading. And when you see the calendar turn to 60, do you have any hope left? Maybe 40 years of unanswered prayer. 40 years of God not giving you what you wanted. I don't know about you, but it makes sense to me why Zechariah had doubts. But his doubts were so strong, his discouragement and disappointment so deep, that when an angel appears, when he's startled, when he's troubled, when he's gripped with fear, when a message is brought, even that cannot break through at first. The angel has to say, "Hey, don't you know who I am? I am Gabriel. I dwell in the presence of God. And I'm sent here to tell you, to declare to you, to announce to you. I've got a message for you. Can't you hear it?" God has a message for you. God has a message for each and every one of us. It's a message, first of all, him saying, I've got a plan of salvation. A plan to pay the debts of your sin. A plan to wash you clean, to draw you into a relationship with me, to make you my son, to make you my daughter. I've got a plan for you. Stop being cynical. Stop being jaded. Stop being discouraged. And let that message sink in. And then beyond that, it's a message, I want to fill you with my very self. I want to live inside of you so that incarnational ministry continues as I, by the Spirit of God, live inside of you, so that you are now a new creature. Not just physical, but now spirit born. And I want to live inside of you and work through you so that you're part of the growing kingdom of God on earth. When you were first a believer, did you have grand beliefs? Did you think that God was going to use you in mighty ways? Did you expect the family and friends you talked to respond with enthusiasm and excitement to the gospel message just like you did? Were you expecting God to use you to reach neighbors and co-workers and change the very environment? And as the years have gone by, have you lost some of that fire? I'm so glad that God picked an old guy with doubts to kick off the Christmas story. Because the older I get, the more I can relate in age, but certainly in doubts. I think God wants to answer your doubts this Christmas season. I think Luke's strategy in this opening chapter, besides introducing and saying, "I'm going to give you the evidence, Theophilus," he starts by contrasting, comparing and contrasting. And we got the announcement of the birth of John, and then the announcement of the birth of Jesus. And then we have the two mothers meeting, the connection point. And then we've got the story of the birth of John, and then the story of the birth of Jesus. Comparing and contrasting going on. And we have the response of Zechariah in contrast to the response of Mary. And I want you to notice, they appear somewhat similar, but very, very different in essence. Zechariah says, "How can this be? How can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? I've got questions. I doubt its possibility. And the angel has to bring a great rebuke. And even a punishment, as Zechariah is going to be unable to speak the whole duration of the pregnancy. That's contrasted with Mary. As the angel appears and delivers his message to Mary, it says, verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid." He went on to describe what's going to happen. The Lord God is going to give you a son. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary's response in verse 34, how is this going to happen? How will this be, since I am a virgin? Is that different from Zechariah's? Is that distinct from how Zechariah responded? And what is the difference? See, I think it's okay that Mary asked, how? The how is an okay question. How's this going to be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How could I become pregnant? And the answer is given to her somewhat in a little bit of detail, not everything, but basically the answer is God's going to do it. It's going to be miraculous. He's going to be the Son of God. And as you hear a message, as you read the Word, as you sense the Spirit, as you hear the Word of God come through His Word or through a person proclaiming it, it's okay for you to say, how, God? In fact, I'd encourage you to ask how. I would encourage you to be like Mary and say, I believe, but I don't know how it's going to happen, so give me some more information so I can live it out, act it out, participate in it. That's different from Zechariah saying, how can I be sure? Hey, I'm too old. My wife's too old. Mary asked for greater understanding. Zechariah said, I want to be certain. Give me more. See, I believe it's possible to demand too much evidence before we act. It's possible to say, Lord, I'm not going to take a step further until you give me more sign. So you make it much more clear. I'm not going to step out in faith yet, God. It's possible to demand too much. I encourage us to have a response like Mary. It says, I believe. Help me know how to obey, how to participate in this. How are you going to do it? See, I think some people say, well, Zechariah was wrong, so we should never ask questions of God. I think Mary's response is very enlightening for us. We can say, God, how? And we can dig into it. We can seek more information with an attitude that I'm going to obey every step of the way as God makes things clear. I'm going to say, yes, God, do it, God. May it be done to me as you have declared. And how do I now live in that? How do I now play it out? One of the reasons I think that this is the essence of the difference is how Luke, later in his gospel, describes Jesus' response to some of his contemporaries who had no faith. In Luke chapter 11, verse 29, as the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. And the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." So my caution to you is let your ears be sensitive to the message of God. And when you hear it, don't demand more evidence. Be like Mary. Seek to understand. Dig into it. Seek explanation, not more evidence. I think there's lots more to learn. I think there's lots more to dig into. I think what God has planned for you is greater than you've ever imagined. And I encourage you to be a digger, to be a pursuer, to be trying to figure it out in more and more understanding. Like Mary saying, how is it going to happen? How are you going to fill me with your Spirit? How are you going to empower me to minister? How are you going to use me to proclaim your message? How are you going to use me living in the corner of Minnesota to be an influencer around the whole world? How are we as one little church going to reach unreached people groups in persecuted lands? How is that going to happen? How are we going to be used by God to break down the strongholds of Islam and other false religions? How is God going to speak through us? Try to understand these things and act in faith. See, the book starts by Luke saying, I gathered the evidence. I compiled all the writings. I interviewed eyewitnesses. And I am writing down an orderly account so you can be certain of the things that we believe. What's that? That's the appropriate pursuing of evidence and understanding. Not the doubting, demanding of more than what God provides. Walk that line properly of trusting God, digging deeper, believing His word, trusting Him to use you. But I want you to think about the end of this account of Zechariah. We hear the beginning where it says he was a man that was pursuing God. We see in the middle his doubts after years of unanswered prayer. But 9 months later, we hear about him again. Look at his response. The baby has been born. The neighbors and relatives have gathered around. They're going to have the rite of circumcision on the eighth day of the child. And they're going to name the child officially. And they're going to try to name him after Zechariah, which is the custom of the time. And Zechariah has to speak up or answer the question finally. What are you going to name him? They made signs to the father to find out what the child's name would be. So, verse 63, he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, the name is John. That's what the angel told him the name should be. It means God is gracious. And certainly, Zechariah had experienced that as the grace of God had reached him, touched his heart. As he'd seen his stumbling 9 months ago of his doubt and of his inability to believe the message of God. But over 9 months' time of thinking in silence, unable to communicate, he starts to believe. And then the evidence grows as he sees his wife's belly swell and he's overwhelmed with emotion that God would so graciously answer my prayers that I prayed 30, 40 years ago. And as he obeys, it says in verse 64, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free. And he began to speak. And what did he speak? It says he began to speak praising God, blessing God. No matter what the season of doubt in your life might have been, no matter how deep the discouragement and the doubts, God is graciously inviting you to believe, to trust, to receive the things that He has for you, to extend out hands of faith to receive that God, what God has planned to give you. It might not be the things that the world values, but the deeper things, the richer things, the life-changing things, the things that bring salvation and sanctification and utilization in the kingdom of God. Zechariah came to faith again, belief again, and he blessed the Lord. Look how it records 67. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. That means God was at work inside of him. That means God the Spirit came and filled him, moved him, change the inside around so it's now aligned with Him. And it's an inside of faith. And from that flows the proclamation of the Word of God. He spoke the Word of God. And He said, "Praise be to the God of Israel, the Lord, because He has come to His people and has redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies." Started strong, doubted in the middle, ended very strong. I hope that describes my life. I hope that describes your life. Those doubts, those stumbles are not the final chapter. Those parts of you that might have turned towards cynicism or even discouragement are not the final parts. God is at work. And God is speaking. And God is moving. And He's inviting you to hear and respond in faith. God is gracious. And His plan of salvation includes calling you into that kingdom and calling you to be a proclaimer of that kingdom. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we do trust You. We do obey You. We confess at times we stumble. We confess at times we doubt. We confess at times our sight is cloudy and we can't quite see what's going on. But we thank You that You are gracious to Zechariah. We thank You that You are gracious to us. Enable us to trust. Enable us to believe. Enable us to then be proclaimers of Your blessing, to be praisers of You. We pray in Christ's holy name.